I've just had a chance to actually spend the week just preparing just what I put 12 points of why we break bread together. They're not long points. It's not sort of 12 preaching points. So don't worry, this isn't going to be a sermon. I'm going to go through them quite quickly, but I think it's useful to reflect on why we've been. I think there's so many sort of elements to it that I think it would be really good to remind us. So the first point is this, that breaking bread recenters our lives on Christ. We all have busy lives, don't we? We all do many things, and our lives are centered around all sorts of different things, aren't they? They might be centered around family, might be centered around work, might be centered around ourselves, might be centered around money. In a sense, we have different sort of centers of attention throughout the course of the week. But what communion does is it recenters us on Christ. And we do need to do that. We need to recenter ourselves on Christ. Now, there are other things that do that as well, like worship and meeting together. But actually, communion is a key element of recentering our lives on Christ. And so we frequently need to go back to Christ. And communion is one of the best ways that we do that. That's my first point. The second point about breaking bread is it reminds us that Christ is the one who died for us, and that we gain salvation through his death on the cross, not by works, lest any man should boast. So it just reminds us that we are saved by faith and not by works. It reminds us of how we are saved through Christ's death on the cross. And I think it's always good to be leveled by what he's done for us on the cross. Yeah, so that we don't get sort of airs of pretension or grandeur. So there's an element in which it also humbles us and sort of recognition that we're all in the same boat, that no one is special, no one is of higher status, no one has any superiority over any other believer. We are all together and we all break bread together, which is a great leveler. Does that make sense? And there can be a danger within churches, within the kingdom, that, you know, people start gaining preferred status or feeling that they're a bit higher or a bit more important or a bit more special. Breaking bread together destroys that. It breaks it down, actually, and brings to us a recognition that we are all at the same level in Christ. Does that make sense? Thirdly, breaking bread provides opportunity for personal repentance. It gives us a chance, in a sense, to clear our inventories with God, almost. And what I want to do is I just want to create an opportunity for us to do that now. So a wonderful prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. They're going to give us an opportunity for just silent repentance and confession. Jim, and I always remember in my Anglican days when we broke bread, that was a key part of the whole breaking bread together. So, sorry, can you still hear me? My internet is very weak, so I hope you can still hear me. I'm going to just read this. Great. I'm going to read this prayer, and then I'm going to just give us a little time of silence where we can just in our hearts personally confess our sins. So just listen to this. This is a prayer from Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. I love the way that it says that we've not done the things that we ought to have done, and we've left undone the things that we should have done. Often there are sins of omission. There are sins where we failed to care for people, or we failed to look out for people, or where we've in a sense, done those things as well as the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. And it's a time for just soul searching. Robin read out a scripture in which we were invited to examine ourselves. Now, we don't want to get into morbid introspection as Christians, but we do want to get into a time during the week where we can sort of examine our hearts and say, Lord, is there anything that is wrong within me? David asked that. He said, cleanse me with hyssop, find out anything that is wrong within my heart. And so now is an opportunity for us to do that. So we're just going to have a minute where we just quietly confess our sins in our heads to God, or you may want to mute them and confess them out, mute your screen and confess. But let's just spend some time just quietly confessing our sins to God. Okay, Lord, we just want to confess our sins to you. Lord, we just want to say, Lord, we want to just in our hearts declare to you the things where we know we have offended you and where we have caused you grief. Lord, we just want to lift those up. Lord, we thank you that your son's death on the cross covers our sins. Lord, we thank you that as far as the east is from the west, so you have removed our transgressions. Lord, we want to thank you that, the penalty of our sin is taken away. Lord, we want to thank you for those things now. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would grant us the ability to serve you in newness of life, Lord, that we wouldn't get into repetitive sins, doing the same thing again and again and again. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would help us to be able to resist whatever sins we've confessed as well. Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, very good. Thank you. Just moving on in terms of what breaking of bread does, additional elements. First, I think about fourthly or fifthly, it confirms our obedience to Christ. When Jesus died for us on the cross, he wasn't just our savior. He also became our Lord. He became the one that we serve and obey. And obedience involves doing what he says. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, by actually breaking bread together, we are just simply obeying him. We are doing what he says. And so we're, in a sense, coming back under his lordship as we break bread together, which I think is quite important. So that's the next one. Sixthly, I've got, it's simple and yet a mystery. There's a wonderful simplicity in breaking bread, of eating the bread and drinking the wine, reflecting the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. There's a real simplicity in that, but there's also an incredible mystery in terms of, you know, how does his death actually save us? How does the process of faith work? You know, why is the celebration of breaking bread and so important? You know, all these things are in a sense a mystery. And so there's this wonderful combination of mystery and simplicity as we break bread together. It's a very powerful sacrament. Sacrament basically means a spiritual truth conveyed within a physical act. Yeah, so baptism is a sacrament in the sense of someone going into the water and coming up is the physical act of going into the water is demonstrating the spiritual truth of new life in Christ. Similarly, eating bread and drinking wine is declaring that we have taken Christ into ourselves, that we own him completely. So, you know, for those reasons, it's really important that we do that on a regular basis. Seventh, it reminds us that we are not just one body in, so we're just not one in Christ, but we're one body. So it speaks of unity. The fact that we're all doing it together means not only are we being joined into Christ, but we're also being joined into one another. There is that sense that as we do this together, now, you know, we're doing it on Zoom is not quite the same as doing it in person. So I hope we're not being sacrilegious by doing it on Zoom. There is that sense that we are being joined together in one body. And so it's a statement, it's a declaration of our oneness in Christ. Next, it gives us opportunity to recommit ourselves to the cause of Christ. sometimes we stray from being committed to Christ's purposes. Sometimes we wander off and do our own thing. Breaking bread together gives us a chance to in a sense, recommit our purpose to Christ. We can say, actually, Lord, I recommit myself to follow you as we break bread together. In fact, why don't we do that? Why don't we just bow our heads and pray that prayer of commitment? Lord, we just want to thank you that, Lord, as we break bread, Lord, we celebrate your death and resurrection. We celebrate that we belong to you. But Lord, also, we want to make a renewed declaration to commit ourselves to you, to your kingship, to your lordship, to your direction. Lord, we want to pin our colors to your mast, as it were. Lord, we want to make it absolutely clear that we are followers of you as we do this together. Lord, we want to make it absolutely clear that nothing else has our affections quite like you. Lord, we just want to just declare that this morning as we break bread together in Jesus's name. Amen. Okay, the next one is, it's a proclamation, it's a declaration to the world that we are followers of Christ, much like baptism is as well. Baptism is a declaration to everyone that cares to look that we follow Christ and that he belongs to us. Also, I've just got a last point, which is this, it's an opportunity for people to choose salvation. Actually, it contains elements of the gospel, which I find fascinating. It's a little sort of gospel within an act, where people have a choice to either choose to follow Christ by taking the bread and the wine or choosing not to by not doing so. So people are presented with a choice for or against Christ. And it's therefore almost like an altar call. It gives people the chance to say, yes, I choose Christ, and can be a means by which people make a commitment to Christ and are saved. That's happened at Jubilee in the past, that people have had that decision, shall I break bread and take bread? And they've come up and that has almost been their step of salvation. So in that sense, it's important too. So I hope that we can see just how full of meaning breaking bread is, how full of significance it is, how important it is. I'd encourage us to do it in our small groups, home groups, from time to time. Do encourage us to just see how important it is as we move forward. And we're just going to continue that sense of importance as I just hand over to Mike and Nicola, who are going to just lead us in breaking bread together now. So hand over to you, Mike and Nicola, as they do that for us. Okay, we've just got a couple of notices. Firstly, just a quick reminder that this evening there's an opportunity to pray, commission our hosting an evening. So details are in your news sheet. Mike Betts is talking. Mike is extremely strong on prayer and is a very, very fine biblical teacher. I remember he trained me as part of my training process, and Mike took a number of elements of the course and was absolutely outstanding, really humble, gentle guy, with a great sense of humor, very dry sense of humor, and just a very powerful speaker. So if you are available, can I encourage you to tune in and have a listen to Mike. And also, we've just got a notice about next Sunday and our invitation to all, so to Tim's going to share that. So Tim, over to you.
Yeah, so next Sunday we're really looking forward to welcoming back all groups, so there's no restrictions, as it were, in terms of on a sort of cohort that you might fit into. So there's going to be still ticketed, so from tomorrow 5 o'clock tickets will open. There'll be a waiting list. We're going to have a bit more capacity that we're putting in there as well, so really looking forward to that. So tickets will be able to be booked in ones or in twos, but if you do need, sort of, you're coming from a larger household, do just put on your requirement in there, and we'll see if we can help fit that together. But really looking forward to, as we start to gather together in person going forward, it's been a long time coming, but it's so good that we can move in this direction together. So yeah, keep your eyes out, and encourage you to book up quickly from tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Tremendous. And please encourage those around you, don't hold back. There'd be in the classic sort of British temperament is after you. No, after you. And there may be that sense of, I won't book because I want to give someone else a chance. Can I encourage you not to think like that? Can I encourage you to just get in there and book? Yeah, and getting there. I think we've come to the realization that actually people coming back to church is going to be a slower process and a more difficult process than we thought, and that actually people are going to be quite reluctant to come back. So can I just really encourage us to get into a really positive attitude in terms of wanting to come back ourselves, and also encouraging those around us to sign up and return as well. If people are a bit resistant and thinking, well, actually, I prefer to stay at home and you know, watch it while doing the washing up or something, or watch it whilst doing the ironing, you know, encourage them to sort of be a bit more proactive than that, and to say, no, come on, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing it. Just say that in the scriptures, but all the more as we see the day approaching, you know. Now, that scripture is really relevant for us at the moment. Let us not give up meeting, as some are in the habit of doing. COVID has created some dreadful habits. Can I just say that? Dreadful habits of not meeting, dreadful habits of not doing fellowship, not doing community. I do feel that it's time to start breaking some of those habits, those bad habits, bad COVID habits. So if I could just gently encourage us to be proactive in terms of returning. Tim has worked really hard with Jenny to create space that remains COVID compliant and remains sort of with good practice guidelines. So my hope is that we can get as many people back in as possible, as quickly as possible.